chariot racing. Ancient Rome's NASCAR. I am sure as far back in time as history goes, or as people existed, somebody turned to somebody and said, I'm faster than you are, my donkey's faster than your donkey, you know, whatever. Whether you're back with Og and a caveman, or you're racing two-horse chariots in Egypt, or what have you. But chariot racing really gets going in ancient Rome. I mean, it's one of the Romans' favorite spectator sports. Now, usually the Greeks are credited with setting up organized chariot racing. There was some chariot racing held at Olympia, and I'm sure it was in other locations as well. But the Romans built these gigantic racing venues, particularly in Rome, but in most major cities. I mean, Rome had 5 or 6, if not 7 or 8 of them. Okay, the Circus Maximus being the most famous. Okay, there certainly was one in Constantinople, Istanbul, or Byzantium initially, because that is the last of the original Roman chariot race venues to end. That's the Hippodrome. And this year, 2005, they have found evidence in England of a wooden, more primitive chariot race venue, which means that chariot racing, you know, if it existed that far to the fringes of the empire, it probably was all over. We're all usually pretty familiar with the spectacular Ben-Hur chariot race sequence, which no one has done better. Whether you watch the black and white original or the color more modern one. But let me give you a little background of some things about chariot racing. Then I'll kind of go through a little bit of the race as it compared with what you saw in the in Ben-Hur. First of all, the Romans were always interested in variations. Now, their favorite race was the four-horse race. And you don't just take four horses and hitch them up and charge. I mean, yeah, you can do that. But a lot of those teams are specially trained. I mean, there isn't a differential on that chariot. So when you go into a curve, those inside horses have to know that they need to slow down while the outside horses kind of pick up the pace a little bit. There's a lot of training goes on. The horses are much more valuable than anything. The charioteer is usually not a slave. Sometimes they're a slave, but they're certainly not like gladiators, expendable. There's two-horse chariot racing, four-horse chariot racing, and eight-horse chariot racing. There's some accounts that talk about zebras being used as racing items, and I'm sure there are any other variations of odd things, because the Romans got bored pretty quickly. The average chariot race ran about 7 laps. And again, laps would vary depending on what they're trying to do. Now, if you take the Circus Maximus, which is the most famous chariot racing venue in all of Rome, those 7 laps would be 3,976 meters. That's a lot of distance. So you're not necessarily going to run those horses at full speed. Otherwise, they will blow up on you at some point. The most famous of the charioteers that we have records of, and there are significant records of the charioteers, is Diocles. Diocles participated in 4,257 races, winning 1,462 of them, retiring at the age of 45 to a ripe, nice, good old retirement. He also came from behind more than 60% of the time to win on the last lap, which is something the Romans really liked. And if you look at the chariot race, the chariot venue, the racing track itself, it certainly does give you the opportunity to be in the race all the way through it. Look what happened in Ben-Hur when he got run off the side of the track. He's last, but because he's last, he doesn't have to be concerned about the people as they make the turns. We can take the turns faster, so you can get back into the race a little bit quicker. The horses are practically worshipped by the crowd. If you go today down the Appian Way, you can see tombs, and some of those tombs are of race horses, which will list their finishes first, second, third. They would have, people would provide them a special food. Some of them had their hooves gilded in gold and silver. Some of them had special mangers that they ate out of. The most famous of all the horses is Incitatus, mainly because he was Caligula's favorite horse. And at one time, Caligula made Incitatus a senator because he attended Claudius, the future emperor's, one of his weddings, dressed in a kind of a throw over his back with senatorial colors. And he stayed in the main palace, and he ate out of a golden manger. And there was some discussion that Caligula was thinking about making him co-ruler of the Roman Empire before, you know, he was assassinated. So that's a great story with horse racing. I mean, we've always loved horse racing, you know, Man-O-War, Seabiscuit, Secretariat, so forth and so on. Now, in the races, usually they divided them up into groups based on four basic colors: the reds, the greens, the blues, and the yellows. So that you could bet on red 2 or green 3 and whatever else, because there is serious betting that is going on in this racing venue, just as there's betting on gladiating. I mean, it's a little less. Well, today you don't have to worry about going to the racetrack and coming out a slave. You might lose all your money. But in Rome, if you ran out of money, there were slave dealers there, and they would give you a value on yourself that you could then bet. And of course, at the end of the day, you either, you know, paid your money back with interest, or you'd sold yourself or some member of your family into slavery. Now, the racing venues are much larger than the gladiating venues. The Circus Maximus, which was first built in 530 B.C., out of wood, and it's actually built twice out of wood before Caesar finally had it constructed out of stone in 64 A.D., Circus Maximus conservatively held 100,000 people. You will find some history books that say it may have held as many as 200,000. I don't know how you squeeze everybody in. That would be most of the people of the city of Rome. But it is a huge venue. The main straightaways, two straightaways, are 600 meters long, and it's 200 meters wide, and made out of stone. And you could buy food, you could buy all sorts of stuff that you could possibly think of at these particular places. Now, the Circus Maximus has one of the palaces beside it, so that the emperor could come and go as he pleased. You would have a whole series of races that would be done during the day, and in between races, then they would, I call it the Roman Zamboni, they would bring out chariots that had rakes on the back so they could rake the surface smooth. You would have people who came out and picked up the debris, because the last thing you wanted was somebody's horse breaking their leg on a spoke or something, or tripping over a body part that was out there. So that is cleaned up in between races in most cases. Now, that may not be true in all the racing venues. Obviously, the higher class ones are going to put on a much better performance, as well as drawing better quality horses and better quality drivers. To say that you raced in the Circus Maximus was, you know, it's like today saying, well, you know, I've won the Indianapolis 500, or I've been in the Daytona 500, or I've won the endurance race at Le Mans. It was that big of a deal. Now, in the it's an, the way the racetrack works, if you have seen Ben-Hur, then just remember how that stadium looked like in your head, because that's pretty much what they looked like. It's very, very long and then narrow. At the very back, you had the starting house. Now, in the movie Ben-Hur, they started it where the patron was located. Now, that is usually the emperor, or it is the person who is paying for these games, running for political office or commemorating a family member's death or something. Whoever's paying for it's usually there in the main starting gate. And they started them. They made one lap around in the movie, and then they stop. And then, in this case, it's Pontius Pilate, because it's done in Jerusalem. He drops a handkerchief, the flag drops, and everybody takes off. That's boring as all get out if you're a Roman. You go, oh, man, there's nothing to this. So think about it. Why do you go and watch a car race? Do you go to watch the excitement of all 30 or 40 or 50 of those cars making it through to the end? You go there for the crashes. You got to admit it. You go there to see the crash. You hope no one is killed. But wow, did you see the crash that happened here? Well, Romans aren't any different. So if you think about the Ben-Hur, okay, they start that race initially. They bring all those chariots, and there are usually 12 chariots in a race. It can be less, it can be more if it's just a two-horse chariot. But they're the starting house in the back. Each one has its own little stall or own little place that it stays, and it has its own exit. And the race is started there normally. So you drop a flag, and then these 12 horses come, these 12 chariots come charging out of this start house, and they go into a straightaway that's only wide enough for six. It may be as narrow as four. So the first decision the charioteer has to make is, do I try and get that big advantage? Do I hold back? Or what do I do? So a lot of times you have a big crash right there at the very beginning. The race doesn't officially start as far as counts of laps until it gets past the point where the patron or the emperor is located, because they have an anti-cheating device. It's called the white line. It's called the albalinea. It's a rope that stretches across the track. It's just high enough so it can trip the horses. If the person holding that rope believes that a fair start had taken place, they would then drop the rope. Now, most of the time, they wait to the very last second because you want to keep that intensity up, right? So once again, the drivers are in the position, oh, man, do I go for it? Do I hold back? What have you? It certainly paid to know who that person was betting on, or did they have a favorite. For example, Nero loved the green racing venue, or the racing factions. One time even dyed the sand green for support. So if he was holding the rope, you better believe the green's got a bad start, it's going to stay up. And then once that dropped, then they continued to go around. Now, you were not allowed to carry, you could carry a dagger with you. That was not to be used. You weren't supposed to have any weapons other than a dagger. And the dagger was only to cut the ropes, the reins, in a crash. To protect the horses, they tied the reins of the horses around the waist of the driver so that he wouldn't run the horses into a dangerous situation and then bail. He's attached to them, so if anything happens to them or the chariot crashes and they go running off, he's dragged across the ground. Once he hits the ground, he can pull the dagger out, cut the reins. Not supposed to throw it at anybody, probably disqualify you or worse. You have a whip. Not everybody used the whip. Some people use the whip. You can use that on your opponent or your opponent's horses. Now, in the Ben-Hur movie, the Roman rider, the antagonist of Ben-Hur, has what is called a Greek chariot. And that's a hubcap, a spinner hubcap, that can cut spokes out of an opponent's chariot, or it can cut the legs off of horses. Now, the Romans are very much interested in fair play. If they're going to do that, everybody's going to have one. You wouldn't allow one person to have that because they would win. You can see what happened in the race. Anytime he came anywhere near somebody, they either crashed or got out of his way. So that would be considered unfair, but something like that probably existed more or less in like a demolition derby type of race, because these people didn't like to see the horses injured. Then you would go on around your seven laps, and there's a lap counter, usually some sort of symbol of Poseidon or Neptune, which is dolphins or what have you. And then you go around, and at the end of the race, you have a victor. The victor does a victory lap. People who had won on him, had bet on him and won, are expected to throw money to him, put it in his helmet. They'll frequently go around the edge with their helmet out. That victory lap is not just for the just fun of it. It's to collect some money as well. There's all sorts of benefits to that, and then they would clean the track up and do it again. They'd race sometimes from the morning until dark. So, one of the reasons Caesar had the Circus Maximus made out of stone is, I guess, every once in a while the crowd didn't like what happened, set the doggone thing on fire. So that's an unusual thing. What they did in the Ben-Hur movie was a safety issue. If you look at the history of the making of the very first film in the 20s, the silent version, they tried to make that race as realistic as possible, and they offered a big reward to the stuntman who rode to victory. And they charged them all out of the starting house like the Romans did, and they all crashed in the first straightaway. Now, one book that I've read says that one of the stuntmen was killed and six or seven of the horses were killed. Another one says that there were no stuntmen killed, but a lot of them were injured. So they cut that part out of the movie. The other thing that's kind of interesting, I watched the Johnny Carson show one night where Charlton Heston was on. In the scene where he has the wreck, he swore that that was not rehearsed. That was just something that happened. If you see the black and white version, it's exactly the same race. It's exactly the same race. Because the guy playing Ben-Hur, I can't remember whether it's Raymond Navarro or who it is, goes over the chariot exactly the same way. And this is, I mean, like I said, this is everywhere. And to show you how long this lasts, I mean, this goes on in the Byzantine Empire, the Eastern Empire that lasts after Rome falls. Those four racing factions of the Hippodrome at Byzantium, Constantinople, eventually become political parties. You had a red section, a green section, a blue section, and a yellow section that you would sit in. And if you were a red and you went into a yellow, you better watch out. And they would hold that, frequently use that, because it's one of the largest venues to seat people for political events. So that's kind of fascinating. If you go to Venice, the front of St. Mark's Church there in Venice has some bronze horses. And I think the originals have been taken off, and those are replicas that have replaced them. Originally, those were the bronze horses that were on this gigantic bronze chariot that stood at one end of the Hippodrome in Constantinople. And it was looted from the city when it was taken over in 1204 by the Fourth Crusade. So we have the end of chariot racing, but we keep on racing. I'm sure they were, you know, they were racing horses in the Middle Ages and, you know, jousting and stuff, but, you know, we've gone back again. So chariot racing was Rome's NASCAR.